Welcome into another episode of Free Basketball. I am your host, Ryan Meadows, part of the League Sports Podcast Network. If you are not listening to the network, what are you doing? We have some of the best up-and-coming NBA shows. After us on Tuesdays, if you've been following the network at all, we've got Hooper's Log. After that, it's High Off the Glass, Leading with the W, Noon Channel Sports, The Lowdown, everything you could possibly need in a podcast network. We have right here at the Lead Podcast Network. So please like, subscribe, share, tell everyone, tell your friends we are up and coming. You want to be on the beginning of this. Today we are finishing out our final tier. This is the No Injuries Please tier, and these are the final teams that we think have a legitimate shot to make the conference finals and the NBA finals and win the NBA championship. So some surprise teams. If you've been following along, you know who the selection is left. Hopefully you enjoy the rankings. For the start of this, we had to cut back and forth before like we did. So Cody did a couple pre-recorded with me, and then we will add Daniel in, and it will be the three of us to finish out this ranking tier. So thanks for sticking with us. If you did through all of this, it's only going to get better from here. We all plan to be all together for the remaining of the season, and it's going to be awesome. So enjoy the rest of our ranking list. Ninth on our list, the Denver Nuggets, who last year went 47-25 with the reigning MVP on their team. That was good for third in the West. Coached by Mike Malone still. Added draft pick in Bones Highland, great nickname. Paul Millsap is gone. They added Jeff Green. They still have the same basic roster that we saw in the playoffs. Obviously, Jamal Murray is going to be a little longer, but projected star from coming back from his injury for his ACL tear. But projected stars we see for this team, I have Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, Nikola Jokic, of course. Starting two guard, I'm going with Will Barton, who is back again. What do you think about that starting five? Are you interested by it? Do you think there's some holes? Or what's your general feeling about this Nuggets roster?
I mean, my general feeling about this Nuggets roster is that it's going to continue to be, like, really impressive in the regular season, and it's going to be, like, great in the playoffs for a little while, and it's going to fizzle out. They need some depth.
Oof. So beating the Blazers in the first round didn't excite you much.
No.
Especially after they got swept by the Suns in the second round.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Swept. Suns in four. the Nuggets got punked. Nikola Jokic was named the MVP, and then they played like ass.
Mm, yeah.
They're like, we got the MVP on our team. We don't need to do anything else this year. And they didn't.
literally
played three more games, and it was over.
Yeah, and I loved Jokic. I was on him early for MVP as a deserved MVP, and he was great. 26 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists. He was fantastic. My biggest question mark of, obviously, the Nuggets is, Will Barton is old, but or getting older. Well,
Jamal
Murray will be back, but Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon, right? Aaron Gordon first, 10 points per game. And really the question I have is, what is he? Is he a productive NBA player? Is he going to help your team? Does he give you more to your team than what Jermichael Green did for them off the bench that they re-signed? Like, what is it about Aaron Gordon that we keep holding on to for him?
I think it's his name.
Just the name. Just the name and the dunk contest.
Yeah, it's a dunk contest.
Has this man continued?
Kind of likable.
If he did not have that epic dunk contest with Zach LaVine, and he got robbed twice, in my opinion.
Yep.
Do people even want him? Is he a useful basketball player?
No.
Isn't that a problem for a team that, you know, is trying to catch a break and make the finals?
I think so. I don't think this team's going to catch a break and make the finals. Mm. But I think that's for other reasons. I just don't think they're built for it.
They're not built for it. Michael Porter Jr. is the other question. 19 points last year, 45% from three on 6 attempts a game.
That's good. That's like all of
that's okay. Michael Porter Jr. is a gunner, right? But he has the stats to back it up. Do you think Jokic and Murray like playing with Michael Porter Jr.?
I don't think anybody likes playing with Michael Porter Jr.
I get that sense every time I watch a Nuggets game that Jokic cannot stand being on the court with this man. Do you get that feeling?
I get that feeling just from like listening to Michael Porter Jr. talk.
Every time he talks about himself.
Conference or something like that. I'm always like, yeah, you seem like you'd be great to play with.
Yeah, it's weird because we have two guys who are going to be starters for a team that was third in the West that made the second round. And we're not really in on those two guys. And that's odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe it's not as odd to you, but it sticks out to me. Like, it's I just think me. That's odd.
I
said,
yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, okay. I'm just making sure because I wasn't very enthusiastic. Yeah. I wasn't sure if you're still living off of that deep dish pizza or not.
I didn't have deep dish pizza. It was cold. It was New York style.
But strengths, obviously, Jamal Murray coming back is awesome or going to be awesome for them because they're the team that if they just catch a break, some sort of injury luck or have a run, they seem like they can make it deep into the playoffs. But strengths for them is they're resilient, right? Jamal Murray goes down last year. Everyone wrote them off that they were dead and they're done. And Nikola Jokic and, you know, Facundo Campazzo and Monte Morris and those guys, they just kept the train going. I mean, third in the West is no small feat for losing Jamal Murray with 30 games to go. I thought that was super impressive, the way they kept winning, made the playoffs, and won a round. So they're definitely a resilient group, and they're consistent, right? You know what you're going to get from the Nuggets, and you're going to get hit over the head over and over and over by Jokic dribbling around from the perimeter, dribble handoffs, pass, creation from him, low post moves, the Sambor shuffle. You're getting it all. And that's their strengths. Areas of improvement to me, even though they're consistent, like they kind of need a boost from a guy who's not a boring offensive player. Like I think that's why people weren't super excited about Jokic being the MVP is because he's not an exciting offensive player. Right. I think they could use a boost of creative offense from someone. Now, Michael Porter Jr., you can say, is that boost of creativity, but he's not. He's a gunner. Like he shoots threes. He's not a dribble drive kick guy. Like maybe Will Barton is that guy, but it feels like it's 4 years too past for him. Mm-hmm. And he's always injured. So I just think they need a boost of something, not just the same old, same old. Maybe that's what Jamal Murray is. Maybe that's why this works so well for the Nuggets, is the Jokic and the other guys are the strong and steady. And Jamal Murray is the boost. Like he's the X factor in offensive ability for them. Number eight, the Miami Heat. Record last year, 40-32, which is good for sixth in the East, coached by Eric Spoelstra. Added Kyle Lowry, Marcus Morris, and PJ Tucker. Projected starters, Kyle Lowry, obviously, Jimmy Butler, Duncan Robinson, Bam Adebayo hold down the five. What I'm not sure is the four. It's split between, like, is Markieff Morris going to start, or is it going to be PJ Tucker? What's your thoughts on that?
Probably PJ Tucker.
You prefer PJ Tucker? Is there a specific reason? Just
because of his toughness? I feel like Marcus Morris, if PJ Tucker's coming off the bench, like what is he coming off the bench for? Like what is he, if you're bringing him off the bench, like putting him on the court, like what is he immediately bringing to the court? If you have him out there like to start and he's playing defense and he's like guarding the other team's best player, which is what he's kind of been doing, that kind of thing, then like, that is, I feel like, more like what you get PJ Tucker for. I think like you can bring Markieff Morris up in off the bench and have him like, you know, he can score a little bit and do different things. I do have one thing to say about this though.
Okay.
I don't think that these offseason moves and additions make much of a difference for the Heat.
Oh, here we go.
How old is Kyle Lowry?
34?
Yeah, so he moved
33.
He moved to Florida to retire, basically. He's looking for the warm weather. His joints are achy in Toronto.
Kyle Lowry is
good at basketball, but like I don't think that adding Kyle Lowry to the team is gonna they gotta beat the Nets. They gotta play against Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie.
The Bucks.
They gotta play against all those guys.
And
the 76ers?
The answer you're telling me is Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler, and Bam Adebayo. Those are the three guys that you're going up against the rest of the league with.
This is why we're going to debate, because I actually like this. I actually like the Heat.
And I know you do. The Heat always entrance you. They always suck you in. And they have for a while with me too. I love Duncan Robinson. I used to be a Heat believer, but recently I've become a Heat realist.
Just because they had a tough COVID year after making the finals in the bubble.
Everyone had a tough COVID year in the bubble. Jimmy Butler's mentally tough when other people don't like being away from home. Like, other people get homesick. Cool. Great job, Jimmy Butler.
Hey, he had Rachel Nichols, who has a lot more free time. Oh, I mean, sorry.
I don't know what that
strengths
is an for unfounded the Heat. Twitter rumor.
Strengths.
Based on nothing. You can look that up on Snopes.com.
Onion. Oh, mate. No, but this team, like Jimmy Butler last year, 21 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. Bam Adebayo, 19 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. 1 block, 1 steal. Like, Bam Adebayo does everything, and it feels like he had an off year. And he still put up 19 points per game. And we're giving Bam hell.
Yeah, how they finish in the playoffs?
Here's the thing. Like, they had a 2 or 3 month break and then played
don't
the season.
Don't make an excuse. Answer the question.
And then played a truncated 72 games.
No. Don't make excuses. Answer the question.
Are you going to defend the Bucks next year if they lose in 5 in the first round next playoffs?
No. I'm going to say they should have defended their title better than that. Lose in 5 in the first round of the playoffs. That's horseshit. Defend your title. Play like a man. That's what I would say.
Look, I think what I'm big about it is
what happened
in the playoffs
last year for the Heat.
I like Kyle Lowry more than Goran Dragic. I do. I think he's sturdier physically.
Yeah, probably.
And more consistent. And I think we'll be healthy even at his age at a smaller guard spot. But if you're looking back at the playoffs, I mean, it took a Chris Middleton game winner for them to win game one. So,
but what happened? What happened in the series?
Like, they got dominated, but
yeah, exactly. They got dominated. They got dominated.
How much was the emotional lift of Chris Middleton hitting that game winner for the Bucks, though? Like, if the Heat win that, does that emotional blow to the Bucks hinder them? We'll never know.
They win the next 4. They win the next 4 games.
Strengths for this team. I want to hear you say them. What's the strengths for this Miami Heat team?
Culture.
Pat Riley.
The
immaculate dresser.
Yeah, he dresses great. The rings that he just dumps out on the table from a bag when he has meetings with people.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, my strengths, I have them. Defense, obviously. Eric Spoelstra is one of the best coaches in the NBA.
Yep.
And unselfish offense, right? Like, it's not about one guy getting his. It's
Duncan
all
Robinson.
5 guys are involved. Yeah, like Duncan Robinson's 41% from 3 on 8 attempts per game.
Tyler Herro.
Areas of improvement. I think pace for them is an area of improvement. Like, they were the slowest team in the league last year. But here's the thing. They got Kyle Lowry, who's probably not going to push pace at his age.
Really?
I would be surprised if they did. But with pace comes more shots, right? And they just got outshot by teams. Mm-hmm. And that's probably a product of this other thing they need to improve, and that's rebounding. So I think Kyle Lowry is a better rebounding guard. I think there'll be more emphasis on that. Markieff Morris, PJ Tucker with rebounding. Yeah, sure. Give me that. At least from that kind of wing guard spot, you know. But if I were to improve anything with this team, is I think they should play at a faster pace. Don't have to be the fastest team in the league, but just don't be dead last. Be like 20th. Like, get more than 88 shots up a game.
Yeah.
Like, let's get in the mid 90s. Okay. Cause that's how these close these NBA games are. Like, a difference between taking 88 shots per game and 91 shots per game could be a 8-point game swing.
Yeah.
In your record. So that's what I'm interested by. All right. Now for the final seven teams, instead of just Cody, decided to bring the free basketball, the trifecta, the reunion of the three minds. We have not been together in a long time, but we are back together. Hopefully from now on. I feel like we have been teasing this since we came out on the podcast network that there was three of us together, and here it is. So Daniel is going to join me and Cody now for the final seven teams. Daniel, do I need to introduce you or anything? Do you need to tell us how you're feeling? What's your update on life? What's your social security number?
Nope. Don't care to be introduced. And if you don't like me, tough titties have the kitty.
Number seven.
Who said that? I've never heard that one.
Number seven, the Golden State Warriors, 39-33 last year, which was good for eighth in the West. Head coached by Steve Kerr, still to this day. Projected starters for this team, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond, and Cody's favorite player of all time, Kevon Looney.
The GOAT.
Daniel, do you agree with Kevon Looney being the starter? Last year it was James Wiseman.
James Wiseman will be the starter by the end of the year. 100%.
Why? Why would you believe that James Wiseman coming off injury is going to be starting over Looney?
Is he really injured? Yes. But like, could he have probably played through injuries? Yes. But they wanted to, you know, keep the, you know, the bubble wrap. Keep him bubble wrap. He's an expensive player down the road. He's going to be one of their best top three players because Draymond sucks. So he's going to definitely overtake Draymond this year with the Warriors.
Cody, is the Warriors' success this year? We have them seventh. This is the tier where we think teams have a real shot of making the finals and winning the NBA championship. Does all of the Warriors' chances hinge on Klay Thompson's health?
Yes.
Completely 100%. It's all about Klay Thompson. If he's there, can play a full 82, maybe not full 82, obviously.
I mean, it's definitely helpful. They were good last year, but were they in the play-in games?
They were. They played against the Grizzlies and they lost. Draymond famously did not want to shoot the floater that did not go in and hit the side of the backboard, which was hilarious. So they were eighth last year, quote unquote. Now another year with Andrew Wiggins, you know, who was trying to fit in that system. All those bench guys who got a ton of minutes. Jordan Poole, everyone's excited about.
Is Andrew Wiggins allowed to play home games?
He is. He actually just the other day got vaccinated, so he is good to play in every home game and game.
It's weird that we have to like think about this. Like that is a question I have to ask.
That is like a stipulation if they have like, Andrew Wiggins
problem. Wait, which players are vaccinated and which players aren't? Like that is important. Like if Kevon Looney's not vaccinated, they're not even gonna sniff the playoffs without Kevon.
But on Klay Thompson, so it's a 6 to 12 month injury, whatever. They're saying November at the earliest. Reports are that he is not going to make a debut until 2022. So that's January. So we're looking at maybe missing 30-ish games, maybe. So it's a 50-game season for him at max. That's what I would say. So at that point, we need to take that in consideration on, you know, and that's what I did. I took in consideration his return from injury because honestly, I don't know how well they do in the first 30 games. I think they can, you know, hold off and have a decent record, but legitimately, I don't believe that they're going to be a top, you know, three or so team, you know, early on. They might scoot up there at the end of the year, which I have them, you know, breaking the top four personally. But that's just because he comes back and, you know, they kind of take him slowly because they know Steph can carry this team if need be early on.
Yeah, that's where I think of that. That's a good point about Klay. I didn't look at the specifics of when he was going to play, and I agree with you. They're 100% going to ease him back. What I think this team, I think, has an extra grind for not making the playoffs. I think Steph, Draymond, all of the guys are on the bench, you know, Jordan Poole, Michael Mulder, you know, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Wiggins, all of those guys, I think, thought they should have played the Jazz and also could have beaten the Jazz in the first round. I think they fully believe that. And in their first preseason game, not saying they would have, but I think they felt like they had a real shot of doing that, and Memphis just thwarted their plans. So to me, the Warriors are a team that I'm interested to have a very hot start. And I think they have an axe to grind. I think they have something they want to prove. Do you think this Clay is going to hit the ground running, or do you think this is, like Daniel said, a Warriors team that's in 4-6, that he gets the final 40, 45 games under his belt, and in playoffs time, this could be a really dangerous 5 or 6 seed with Clay?
I mean, I think Clay Thompson is like one of the most efficient basketball players that has ever lived. Like he scored like 60 points on like 13 dribbles one time.
Yeah.
Like it's just ridiculous. And he didn't even play the fourth quarter. I remember like screaming at Steve Kerr watching the game, like put Clay back in. Like he wasn't even dribbling the ball.
He wanted to see it. Yeah.
Clay could have scored 95 points that night. Maybe. I don't know. It was wild. But like Clay doesn't need to like, he's not like a, I mean, he's obviously athletic. You have to be an athlete to be able to get around screens and run around and do all the stuff he does. But like, he doesn't have to do a lot of like herky jerky stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that he'll be able to like, you know, he's not going to play and be playing like a ton of minutes, but I think he is going to like kind of hit the ground running and be Clay Thompson like as soon as he comes back in.
Interesting. Cause strengths of this team, I have defense. I think they're a good defensive team last year, ball movement and versatility for them. So it's like Clay Thompson's kind of adding to their depth. And I think this, you know, Michael Mulder, like we said, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Jordan Poole, all these guys, another year under their belt after having to play a huge role in that big playing game. I think that only just, you know, gives them a depth that a lot of teams aren't going to have. Areas of improvement, though, is, you know, they were a good defensive team, but you'd love to see a little bit better rebounding. That might be nitpicking because – these kind of teams that we think are going to be championship bound aren't going to have a ton of weaknesses. So that might just be a little too nitpicky. But I think rebounding is going to be something that's going to be a good indicator for this team if they're closing out defensive possessions and not giving up those second chance points. But do you see any other thing for this Warriors team, Daniel, that would be a strength that or something they should improve?
Yeah, I think depth is going to be their biggest issue. Because
you know, their biggest issue, you're not with their rotation.
Because you got to think, Avery Bradley, he's only 30, may at times come off as 37 ish, the same age as Andre Iguodala, who's a walk-in minus 12. those two together are not that good. Otto Porter, he hasn't really shown much to me. I think he's good, but he hasn't really shown much to me. I think when it all comes down to is if they can have these young guys, you know, your Juan Toscano-Anderson, somebody who I do really like on this team who could put in, you know, just buckets, and that's Chris Chioza. He's a very good shooter. And then you have to have your young guys, Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga, and even James Wiseman. They have three really good young players. And that doesn't even include Jordan Poole, who I think is, you know, really, you know, emerging to be a really good player alongside, you know, Steph and Clay and Draymond. So I think that they are good, but I think they're 8 deep, which is okay during the playoffs. But during the regular season, I don't know if I really just love this team. But I think that they're but having Steph, that's your ultimate, you know, game breaker. So. They'll be fine, but I don't love their depth personally.
That's interesting because to me, just looking at the style that they're going to play, that second unit is going to be able to continue what the first unit is doing. To me, this feels like one of the more versatile, deeper three-point shooting benches in the NBA this year that can kind of step in even if Clay gets injured. Now their ceiling drops a little bit without Clay, but I do think there's an interesting question that obviously we're not resolved here. We'll know next March or April is if they can play 12 guys this season. And we know in the playoffs that it gets down to 8 or 9, who are those 8 or 9 guys going to be? Like, are they going to choose to go with Iguodala over Juan Toscano-Anderson? Are they going to choose, especially if they're playing the Grizzlies, right?
100%.
But are they going to choose someone with a little more experience over one of these younger guys who might give them a little more pop from three? So I actually think that their bench will be pretty good. I guess we're just kind of preying on the health of Clay, because that's kind of, I'm with you, Cody. It's kind of, it's if he's going to have any regression at all, which he'll probably have a regression, but if it's not going to be a steep one, right? And if he's going to be able to hold up defensively as well, because he's usually a guy guarding the other team's best player. But let's get to the sixth team in our list. This might, I mean, by the time this releases, maybe we'll have some news on this team. The most hotly debated team, I think, over the offseason, and that is the Philadelphia 76ers, who last year went 49-23, which was good for first in the East, still coached by Doc Rivers for now. Projected starters as of right now, even though he is holding out and says he will never play another game for the 76ers again, I still have Ben Simmons listed as the starting point guard for this team. I do have Maxey, and well, I'm gonna say that for a second, but besides that, round up starting five, Seth Curry, Danny Green, Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid. What I want to get to immediately, Daniel, is if Ben Simmons is for sure not coming back, and he will for sure not play another game for them ever again, who starts between, who would you start between Tyrese Maxey and Matisse Thybulle?
That's a hard one. I like both players. I would say let's go with Tyrese Maxey.
Okay.
Just because I think he gives you a little bit more offensively than what Matisse Thybulle is going to be a very good defender, and that's fine, but I would rather have that in the second unit, in all honesty, because you have a player like a Shake Milton who can provide the instant offense if you need it yes. on that same level. So that's what I would say is let's go with Maxey there, but I think that actually could be a real scenario. Unless they get something, you know, a really big starter back for him, because as of right now, I think Ben Simmons is, he's dug his heels in. So I think he might be gone from Philadelphia for good.
Yeah. I mean, the sexy one that everybody's talking about is, with the Timberwolves for D'Angelo Russell or to the Trailblazers for CJ McCollum. So I think if they did either of those, we would just pencil whoever that person right. in. As the starter, but I agree with you. I think I would go with Maxey too, because if you're looking at a lineup with Seth Curry, Danny Green, Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid, and Matisse Thybulle,
yeah,
who's creating any kind of offense on this team? Right. Maxey, at least, you know, he might not be great defensively, but at least he's kind of a runner gunner on offense and can kind of get downhill. Not saying he's a point guard creator, but at right. least he can do something on offense to create some mismatches, maybe draw defense and get downhill. Now, Cody, do you agree with us that you would go Tyrese Maxey? Are you going with the Ben Simmons light, all defense, Matisse Thybulle? And the 76ers just go into this strategy of just strangleholding people on perimeter on defense.
Yeah, I think you need the offense, because even, you know, what you guys are saying about Ben Simmons too, you lose, like, with – the defense that you lose from Ben Simmons, like, you do also lose a lot of passing and things like that, that Ben Simmons, you know, can bring to the table. So I think you have to have the offense, and you, okay. you know, you still have Joel Embiid on the floor to guard the rim. So
yeah, strengths for this team. I mean, obviously last year it was defense, even without Ben Simmons, I think they're still going to be a good defensive mm-hmm. team because they have Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
And Matisse Thybulle even playing in spots. He's still going to be, I still think this is going to be a good defensive team. Seth Curry, you know, is he's average. I think, yeah, I think Danny Green's a good defender. Tobias Harris is whatever.
Oh, you're talking about defense. Never mind. I was going to say, yeah. You guys need to shut your mouth on offense if you're talking about Seth Curry. That,
his defense only. He's a smaller fella.
Now, the areas of improvement for me, if they're going to get rid of Ben Simmons, and I mean, this was still even a big problem for them with Ben Simmons, is offensive creation.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. who is going to create offense on this team? We've seen what it is. It's very ISO heavy, and it's mostly do it for me and Embiid, or someone else hit the shot that you pass to. Like, there's a lot of times where it gets down to under 6 seconds in the shot clock, and Embiid still has the ball, and nothing's going on, and they just toss it to the guy beside him and shoot it. So that is going to be a problem for this team that they need to improve on. And that might be what I would look for if I'm Daryl Morey in a trade for Ben Simmons. Is Ben Simmons is a huge guard, right? And he can create, but he just has no threat of his attack where he's going to be a threat to score. Yeah. So maybe in a trade, that's what they're looking for. Some guy that can create for them who won't just be a get downhill driving kick. He will be an actual threat to score when he gets into there. So that might be mid-range or post. So I'm not sure how many players like that are out there that would be interested, those teams interested in trading for Ben Simmons. I don't think there would be very many. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about the Ben Simmons saga because I feel like everybody has talked it to death. But Cody, just your quick opinion on it. Do you agree with Simmons that you tried to trade me? The whole fan base is against me. You've torn me to pieces. I'm not coming up. I'm not coming anymore. Do you agree with him? Or do you think he should show up because he's still 3 or 4 years left on that massive contract he just got?
To a degree, I get Ben Simmons' side of things. Because, like, they did try to trade him. Like, that was pretty, like, the Harden thing was, like, if you can trade Ben Simmons for James Harden, I don't blame you. Like, that's a good trade. Yeah, he didn't end up getting traded, and so then he was there. But then also, he, like, shot, like, worse than I would have from the free throw line in the playoffs. So, like, there's a little bit of that. You know, you do have to kind of, like, you know, perform. That's kind of on him.
And then also there's the part where the Philadelphia 76ers are paying him $31,590,000 this year to play basketball.
I kind of get where you're coming from, Ben Simmons, but, like, they backed the Brinks truck up to your house. So, like, you should probably pull out one of your, you know, Ferraris or, you know, all those cars you post on Instagram and drive it over to the practice facility.
Well, damn. So, Daniel, is this, like, honestly one of those situations where, you know, usually when we have something like this, there is people on one side of this and one side only, and the other side is bad. It right. seems like we're kind of split down the middle on this. Is this truly a situation where it's like you see both sides of this of the coin? You see what right. the 76ers are doing, why they are upset, why they would hold on to the asset, and they paid him. Expect yeah. him to show up and with a side with Ben Simmons. I mean, is there a winner or loser in this situation, or is it just yelling across the aisle at each other for no reason and both are at fault?
Well, yeah, two things on that. So I see it from a business side of view, whatever that made no sense, but I see it on the business side. And I see that there,
point of view.
Yeah, I said side of view. I just went with it. I was thinking, you know, on the business side. So it's the business side of view. But I see that the way they think about it.
Going down on it.
Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead. that they paid the guy 30 plus million. He didn't perform well.
$31,590,000.
Right. And it goes to 33, 36, 38, which, mind you, Joel Embiid, 26, 27 year, 54 million player option. Wowzers. But I know they paid him, but they also threw him under the bus, which is crazy to me that you throw one of your better players on the bus, even though he played bad. You don't do that, not publicly, to your friends, whatever, anonymous source if you want to, but you can't do that publicly. But on the Ben Simmons side, yeah, screw off. I'm not coming back to Philly. That just is what it is. So I think that's realistically, I think both are dug in, and there will be a winner and a loser. And I just think whatever they get back their pack, whatever package they can get back for Ben Simmons, you're going to have to realize, like, you know, you're either going to be a winner or a loser, because I just think that it's going to be tough. Even though I do have somebody in mind that I'm going to give in a second, but also on the Ben Simmons side, he could be a winner and a loser too. He could be a big loser, because if he's losing 300 plus thousand a game, then that's a big chunk of change. I know it doesn't take long to get into a million when you're doing 300 plus thousand a game that you're losing. Oh, so
it's three games.
Yeah, it doesn't take much. Cody's math is correct. The calculator works.
Number five last year was probably a surprise of the league. The Phoenix Suns? Huh? Was that the surprise team of the league for you last year, Cody?
Yeah, I mean, no, because I think I said at the beginning of the year that, like, they added Chris Paul, so, like, of course they're going to be better.
But did you think they would be one of the top two teams?
I didn't think they were going to win the finals. I didn't think they were going to be in the finals. No, I didn't think they were going to make the finals, but, like, I definitely thought they were going to do good. They had a lot of injury luck throughout the playoffs, so, I mean, yeah.
Interesting. Last year, they did go 51-21, which was good for second in the West. Head coached by Monty Williams still. Great success story from Monty Williams. Really happy to see that his team did really, really well. Starters for this team, projected stars anyways, CP3, Devin Booker, Jay Crowder, Mikal Bridges, DeAndre Ayton. Obviously, the first thing I'm going to talk about is the stalemate that came out in the news about DeAndre Ayton wanting a Supermax deal. And the Suns being unwilling to give it to him right off the bat. Daniel, what is your first thoughts about that? Would you agree with the Suns that they should not give DeAndre Ayton a max, or does he deserve one?
Young fella, go get your money. That's how I feel about it. I think DeAndre Ayton needs to go ahead. He's coming off one of his best years ever. Yes, you need to hold out to get your money, because – if for some reason they don't pay you, somebody else will. So if it's about the money and you're off that far, if they're off that far, according to, you know, the sources and whatever the reports are, then yes, hold out to get your money. Cause he's going to make $12 million this year. I'd imagine it's going to be his highest amount ever. Just way the salary works. So I would say that they just paid Chris Paul roughly $30 million a year. Gave him an extension until 24-25, and Devin Booker's making 35. You're the third best player on the team. You should be right around that same number, in my opinion, if you're producing it the way you did during the playoffs. And they can only use what you did during the playoffs against you, right? And you just balled out. So they need to pay that man that money.
That's interesting, because Robert Sarver, you know, the owner, has not, or what they call them now, governors. I can't remember what they changed the name to. They're not owners anymore. Governors, but notoriously a cheap governor, right? And does not like to spend money to keep a good team around. And he will do whatever he has to do to save a penny. So he's already paying a very aged CP3. He just paid Devin Booker. Do you think it's more so he's being cheap, or do you think it's more so James Jones is trying to keep the pieces intact? Because Mikal Bridges' deal is going to come up. Cameron Johnson's deal is going to come up. I mean, Jay Crowder could walk in a year or two. Do you think it's more so they're trying to work something out that's team friendly with DeAndre to keep the core together? Or do you think this is Sarver told James Jones, Cody, that you got to save the money, I'm not paying Ayton, figure it out?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. That's a tough thing to guess at. But I would assume that probably it's Robert Sarver, some sort of Robert Sarver f***ery.
So you think it's the cheapness of it, not necessarily that they're trying to keep a finals team roster intact?
Yeah. I mean, like, isn't that kind of like they've been, you know, pretty close to being right there a couple of times? And
I mean, it's the first time they've been to the finals since, what, 1990-something?
Well, yeah, 92? But I mean, like, they had those Steve Nash teams and Amari Stoudemire, and they didn't keep them together. They didn't spend the money to keep that rolling.
That's a fair point. Daniel, would you agree that it's because Sarver's cheap, or they're just trying to keep the young pieces together?
Yeah, I would say he's definitely cheap, but he's not – I wouldn't think they're stupid about it. Like, they don't want to give him 25 if he plays like he did prior to the playoffs, because – before then, he really didn't show much. I think he really came into his own during that little stretch, and they had to have that to get as far as they did, even with the injuries.
We played really well during the season. Like, he did play pretty good during the season. Like, yes, Chris Paul's there.
It wasn't the same level, though. There's a whole different
level. I agree with you on that. But, like, he's still, like, Chris Paul's still there. Chris Paul, like, he attributes a lot of his, like, being better to Chris Paul. Like,
right.
Okay, cool. Like, we have the formula. Like, we know how to make this guy be good. Like, pay him.
But what's that difference though? Like, are you going to get the regular season Ayton in the playoffs, or are you going to continuously get a good Ayton and then a really good Ayton during the playoffs? I think that's really what they're confused about as well. But to hit on your, what you said earlier, they did pay campaign. So they gave him $6.5 million per year. So that was good. So he's all the way out into, I think, the 23-24 season. They, you know, Jay Crowder is paid up until next year as well. So they have a lot of the pieces already paid. I know you talked about, who was it? Mikal Bridges. He's the only one that's really that it was a big focal point for them that was not, that's not under contract next year. So they're pretty good. So it's really Ayton and Bridges that are the only ones not under contract. I just think that they don't want to go to the max with Ayton, which I agree. I don't think he's worth the max, but if I was his agent, hold out, big fella.
So do you think that they're trying to offer Ayton something that Jared Allen got in Cleveland? 5 years, $100 million, $20 million a year. When I say this out loud, people are going to be immediately like, what did he just say? But is there a huge enough difference between Jared Allen and DeAndre Ayton's games to warrant DeAndre Ayton getting an extra 15 to 20 million a year than Jared Allen?
15 to 20, yes. Like, that's big. But if you want to throw in, if he.
Yes,
if,
there is a big enough difference in their games.
No, there's not. Like? That's a big difference. I wouldn't pay. With DeAndre Ayton, I'm okay if he wants to make 25 to 28 a year. I'm okay there.
Are centers worth that anymore?
Man.
Or is that a different discussion?
You just paid a 36-year-old Chris Paul $30
million. Giannis is a finals MVP, right? Isn't he pretty much a center?
He could be a point guard.
But we're talking about DeAndre Ayton versus, like, comparing Ayton's game to Giannis's game?
No, but I'm just saying, you said, are centers worth that? Like, I mean, Anthony Davis.
But we see this all the time,
Kevin Durant,
right?
Play like, center sometimes.
None of those are centers, true centers. No.
Everyone overreacts now that the center position is dead. But then every time some athletic center, you know, who protects the rim and can dive to the rim and rim roll gets $25 to $30 million, and we're just cool with it. Like, if DeAndre Ayton got this near max contract, should we think this is a good contract? Is he going to perform to that?
I would pay if it was me, because I don't love his game enough. I don't think he can create enough on his own. And I know that we're in Memphis, we're in the same area with, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. It's, he can create on his own, but can he do the other things? Can he rebound, play defense, not be in foul trouble, stay healthy? The opposite of DeAndre Ayton, he's taken whatever performance enhancing drugs to try to stay on the floor. There's a difference. these guys are totally different. But yeah, I don't think I would. I think the max I would go with him would be right around $28 million. But that's me.
Yeah, I think I'm more on the, I don't know, like, people are just going to freak out at this because, oh, he made the NBA finals last year and was awesome, you know, averaged like 16 and 14 or whatever. But I just don't think there's a huge enough difference between him and Jared Allen to feel like he's worth 40 more million.
Is there a big enough difference between him and Clint Capella?
I don't think so.
Wow.
Is Clint Capella overpaid?
Is there a big enough? Is there, what about Rudy Gobert?
Wow, he sucks. Get him out,
man. No. Would you rather? No, this. No, really.
I'd rather have Ayton over Gobert.
You'd rather. Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's an interesting conversation.
10 times out of 10.
10 times out of 10.
Wow.
10.
I don't even think about it.
Wow. Okay. Wow. All right. I'm not even doing the strengths or weakness because this is. We got to keep moving. This is too much. We're just. This is all to the wind. I should have said that at the beginning when we were, or maybe I'll go back.
You get two of us, we can stay on track. You get three of us here, it gets weird fast.
This is why I kept alluding to it in the pause. That just wait till all three of us are here, because this the digression will. It gets rough in here. It gets rocky.
So, would you rather have Ayton over Gobert, Ryan?
No, I wouldn't. I would take Gobert just because of his. Because he can anchor an entire defense by himself.
No, he can't. Not he can't even win.
They were the number one team in the league.
He can't anchor a defense that's up by 40 in a game seven. in a game six.
He okay. Look, the guys that are playing. We're going to get this. No, we're not doing this now. We're coming up to this team. Okay, number four, the Los Angeles Lakers. No. Oh, Cody's already gone. All right, save it. This is going to get heated in a second. We have not talked about the Jazz yet. All right. Number four, the Los Angeles Lakers, 42-30 last year, which was good for seventh in the West, still head coached by Frank Vogel. Projected starters. This is where it's going to get fun, Cody. I know it's already fun, but Russell Westbrook, blank, LeBron James, Anthony Davis. I have DeAndre Jordan starting.
Oh.
And starting two guard, I have between three players, Trevor Ariza, Wayne Ellington, and Kent Bazemore. Who would you start for this Lakers team to pair with Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James?
Rondo.
Rondo?
Rondo.
Why?
He's smart. All you already have Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook doesn't have to be like the true point guard. You have LeBron James. You don't actually need a real point guard on that team. So you throw Rondo in there. You just have a smart guy on the court who just knows where to go and like what to do.
Russell Westbrook playing off ball with Rondo.
He's not playing off ball.
Rondo and Westbrook have gotten into it in the past, notoriously in the bubble.
At Westbrook. Right. Rondo is off ball. Rondo is the off ball person.
Clearly. What? So yeah. You're just having Rondo in there for the smarts in the starting lineup.
No, actually, no, I know what you do. You throw Malik Monk in there.
Talking to the microphone.
Kendrick Nunn? Malik Monk? This team is so fun. There's so many different ways you can go with this.
So my question for the two, Ariza, Ellington, and Bazemore, and I also have DeAndre.
Go with Dwight Howard over DeAndre Jordan?
I have DeAndre Jordan here. Dwight Howard, I think they
want a title with Dwight Howard.
Yeah, but I think they like him off the bench. That was his role for them. He was kind of like the secondary enforcer. I don't know who you start with AD, LeBron, and Westbrook beside a combination of Ariza, Kent Bazemore, and DeAndre Jordan. I don't know if Talen Horton Tucker is starting for this team. There's a lot of buzz that he could.
No.
But Daniel, what's your thoughts on the starting lineup? Who should the other two be?
So obviously we know it's, you know, LeBron, AD.
That's why I said the other two.
Yeah. So, well, who's your third? I guess Westbrook.
Russ Westbrook. Who's the third?
Anthony Davis.
I would say if it was me, I would probably start Carmelo Anthony.
Oh,
me. Just because I think that those two can play well together in the post. Now, that's what I would do. And we all know the answer to that, right? That there's no way that AD is going to be beaten up by all these other centers. But if you play them like that, they won't be allowed to play those big guys. I don't think they understand that. If you go smaller, they won't play their big guys because they can't. And so you
understand that.
They're coaches. They're dumb. It is what it is. Like, they don't understand that if you make a better offensive power,
I'll tell the coaching staff.
They won't do that. So yeah,
I got Frank on the phone.
I'm smart. I get it. Like, I've been told that twice. My mom told me that. I don't remember what age.
Frank, your plays are dumb.
But I
do figure this out.
I do think that they should go with Carmelo. Obvious. And the other one, man, I would go with an off-ball shooter, and I'd be okay with a Wayne Ellington, even though he really does nothing but shoot. But what else do you need with a superstar lineup that they have?
Yeah, the problem is how washed are the rest of these guys? Because I think the question is going to be, who's the two in this lineup that are going to stick? Because I think the two final starting positions is going to be a revolving door. I don't know if that's going to be situational based on who they're playing night to night, or if that's just going to be, look, who's giving consistent production in these ranges of games. But the strengths of this team, obviously, this was like one of the best defensive teams, if not the best defensive team last year with all the injuries that they did have. There is improvement, obviously, and this is what I want to talk about the most with the Lakers is shooting and spacing. And they did neither to address that and potentially made it worse. Would you agree with that, Cody?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I do agree.
Or do you think there's enough athletic firepower and just the sheer force of will from AD, LeBron, and Russ where spacing won't matter and the shooting won't matter as much?
I just think that they're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Really?
Three,
okay.
Yeah, those three guys. I mean, like, yeah, say what you want about them being old and, you know, broken down. Like, I mean, honestly, we could have, like, had one conversation about this entire team is, can they stay healthy? And we could have said, the Lakers, can they stay healthy? I don't know. All right, number three.
That
could have been the entire discussion about the Lakers, because if the Lakers are healthy, they're going to be really good. If the Lakers are not healthy, they're going to suck.
If the Lakers are very healthy, is this your team that wins the West for you?
Oh, yeah. If the Lakers are very healthy, yeah. If the Lakers are kind of healthy,
normal,
I like their chances. Like, if the Lakers are not healthy, then no. They are going to get bounced in the first round like they did last year, or not even make the playoffs, because I don't know. Yeah, well, if LeBron and Westbrook and AD are all, like, held together by duct tape and chewing gum, then I don't know that Kent Bazemore, Malik Monk, and DeAndre Jordan, Dwight Howard, and Talen Horton Tucker are really going to be blowing the doors off of other teams in the NBA.
Daniel, would you agree with that? That this conversation should be centered around health instead of the spacing and the shooting of the team?
Yeah, it's definitely health.
Sure.
Because I think what you're going to see...
I missed the boat with the Lakers completely on this one. Because I do think health is a factor, but I think the actual logistics of them on the court is a huge deal, like if they are healthy.
Yeah, the logistics of getting them on the court, that is a huge deal.
Keeping them on the court. I just think that the reason that Russell Westbrook was in the end brought in was to take a lot of the load off the LeBron regular season. Because you can sit 100%. You can sit LeBron more games if you need to. You can also allow LeBron to take longer periods of time, you know, off on the bench. So that'll be an easy thing to do because you're allowing Russell Westbrook just to get up and down the floor. And you have so many different pieces that can work. And so I think that they'll be fine. I don't see an issue being, you know, at all with this team, except for the playoffs. At that point, when it crunches down to an 8-man rotation, you're playing Russell Westbrook the most. At that point, there's no moving him off the bench and running him and you know, opposite LeBron anymore. So I think that you're going to have issues in the playoffs. But regular season, I think they're actually going to be amazing because you're going to let Westbrook do his thing.
Wow. Is this an MVP type season for Russ? Is that sneaky dark horse?
Yeah, very, very.
Ooh, I like it. Need to look at those odds. Let's get to the third team in our list. I know we're starting to bog down. We got heat up a little bit. The Milwaukee Bucks, surprise, surprise, the NBA champions trying to repeat, are the third team in our list. 46-26 last year, which is good for third in the East. Still coached by Mike Budenholzer, who, Cody, you believe had the ultimate reversals of fortunes in coaching history?
Yes. That guy went from being fired to winning the finals. Like, if they would have lost to the Hawks, he was out of there.
Even, like, before that, if they would have lost to the Nets in that 7-game series.
Yeah, if they would have lost to the Nets, he was toast. But if Kevin Durant had not stepped his foot on the line, Mike Budenholzer would have been using the tan that, like, he was building during the playoffs. Like, he would have been in Florida, like, so fast, because he would have been unemployed.
And he was actually voted fifth in the best coaches in the league right now by the GMs or whatever that new list that just came out. He was voted number five, the best coaches in the league.
He did figure out how to beat the Suns in the finals. I mean, like, that is...
Isn't that remarkable, though, how that changes? He goes from destined to being fired to he's a top five coach in the league.
Right.
Where the past couple of years, they just could not get it done. And everyone was blaming him for all of the Milwaukee Bucks troubles. So it's just an odd reversal of fortunes, and now he's considered elite because he won a championship. Man, does that change history for you. But anyways, the projected stars for this team, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, Dante DiVincenzo, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Brooke Lopez. I don't think we'll have any infighting on those starters. I think DiVincenzo is good to go for the start of the season. I did not double check that. The strengths for this team. Here's why I like this team for the regular
retired
season.
Retired from basketball, actually.
Is that just released?
Started a golf career.
Yeah. Here's why I like this team is that this is a team to me with Giannis who is kind of an outlier on just mentality, right? Like he wants to dominate and destroy everyone every single night. He does not take a night off. This is why they dominate every regular season because he's going harder than anyone during the regular season when people just do not care about it anymore. So this is why I think they repeat as a top three team. The question is when we're going to get into the playoffs. So the strengths of this team, this is a crazy motor team. I think everyone is talking about they got injury luck, Kevin Durant's foot. We've already personally mentioned it. If his foot is, you know, 4 inches back, or if he doesn't wear a size up on his shoe and wears his real size 15 or whatever it is, are they out of the playoffs? So I think this is a team that has to prove something. They played at an incredible pace last year. I think that's going to stay the same. Their defense was great. The areas of improvement is they're not going to have this problem in the regular season for all the reasons I said, but when we get into the playoffs, are they going to be able to figure out, maybe this is, I'm going to offer this question to you, Daniel, for an area of an improvement. Are they going to be able to figure out some sort of semblance of a half court offense when things turn into the mud in the playoffs? Or is this a team that's just destined to live in the mud and hope for the best?
Looking at their bench unit, they are putting more shooters, creators around Giannis. And so I think that they're a better team than they were last year, for sure, on paper. I think that they're going to have to get up and down the floor and kind of create that space a little bit. And I think that you're going to see them play the way they did, because I think they found a little something in the playoffs going down that stretch. But something Coach Bud has said is he's going this past season, he allowed the players, the starters, Giannis and, you know, Chris Middleton and all of them to play more minutes. He's going to go back to the year prior and play them closer to those minutes. So he's going to, you know, keep them more healthier and keep their minutes lower than it was this season. But why does that make sense? Okay. Because you just won a world championship. You're going to go back to the previous season when you didn't win the world championship and go and coach that style. That confuses me. I get it, but you also, I don't understand why you would say that, first of all.
I think they believe that they have a second run. Like they're going to try to repeat. Like every team obviously wants to repeat,
yeah.
But they have a realistic shot. They were the healthiest team, which was the biggest commodity. The two healthiest teams in the NBA playoffs faced each other in the finals. Let's just be honest. And it's not like they should be dinged for that, but I think they're trying to preserve that same thing. And I feel like when you try to preserve for that, to have another healthy run, like the basketball gods just backfire on you and you're unhealthy. So I think there is a situation where one of the, you know, core three of Giannis, Chris, Drew out for injury and they're still, you know, cutting back on time and they lose a couple games. They have a losing streak. And then, you know, 20, 30 games in, Giannis and all of them are like, screw this, bud. We're going back to where we were. And then they go on an incredible run and just dominate the rest of the regular season. I think that is something that is possible. How do you feel about their repeat chances? Do you think they have a really good shot at it, Cody?
Yeah.
A legitimate shot. You don't think last year was a fluke at all with injuries?
No.
They're going to make the Eastern Conference Finals at minimum.
Yeah. For sure.
Daniel?
I agree. I think they're that good.
The 76ers are going to find a way to fuck it up. And the Nets are good. And then the Hawks.
You're not worried about the Hawks, the Heat?
No.
No way.
The Hawks, honestly, the Hawks would be the team that I'd worry about the least or the most.
Least. You're right. You said it first. Least.
The Hawks would be the team in the East that I'd worry about the most outside of the Nets. Like, you know, you got the Nets looming in the finals, the East finals, but on your way there, it's probably the Hawks that you're worried about the most.
Wow. Boy, we seem destined for a Heat Bucks first round match rematch. And I would be a little worried about that.
I wouldn't be worried about that because because you know what the Bucks are going to do? They're going to bend the Heat over their knee like they did last year.
Yep.
And spank that ass.
Even with Big Booty Judy running the point guard, they'll still be good and they'll still put out the Nets.
That's the Heat. All right, here we go. The second team in our list, the Utah Jazz. Here they are. 52-20.
They got here again. They don't
first in the West. Quinn Snyder is still their head coach. Big addition. I don't really talk about additions for all the other teams, but I think this is an actually sneaky good addition for the Jazz, which everybody's talking about, so it's not sneaky. But they added Rudy Gay to this team, which does not change their starters, but maybe rounds out their bench better. Starters are still going to be, in my opinion, Mike Conley Jr., Donovan Mitchell, Royce O'Neal, Bojan Bogdanovic, and Rudy Gobert. Daniel, do you agree that Rudy Gay is a big addition for this team?
Yeah, because he's something that the other guys are not. And he is somebody who can go get that mid-range shot. He can even post up as well. So I think that he is a player that they don't have on that second unit. And so I think he will be very, very essential to how good they will be in the playoffs.
Do you think that he will close when we get into the playoffs? He'll become a closing lineup guy for them.
I think it will go with the hot hand or matchups. I don't think he is a, hey, we're going to close with him over Joe Ingles or Jordan Clarkson. I think it's really who's hot or what the matchup is.
Cody, we already mentioned Rudy Gobert a little bit. This already got a little fiery. Here's your chance. What's the debate?
My issue with Rudy Gobert is that he got like shot off the court. Like Reggie Jackson is like the kryptonite for Rudy Gobert. That's my issue.
So the issue is that they ran into a bad matchup with a 5-out 3-point shooting team. And Rudy Gobert, who the entire year basically anchored one of the best defenses in the league by himself, surrounded by this core that I just said, which outside of Donovan Mitchell and Royce O'Neal, like Mike Conley Jr. is okay. He's probably a better defender, you know, as an elder, but Bojan Bogdanovic is not a good defender.
What? Let me ask this question.
Is it matchup based for Rudy Gobert, or is it he just can't play in those big playoff situations?
He can't play in those. Like, I don't trust him. Like, he couldn't figure out what to do, like, in any way to help the team out. Like, he just stood there and they got shot out of the building. Like, he wasn't like. And then it was so irritating to watch because I was watching it with Alyssa and she was like, oh, that sucks that the game's like they're up by so much. I was like, yeah, this one looks like it's in the bag. It's probably not even worth watching. But I, you know, like to watch basketball. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, I'll just watch him close it out. Whatever. I'll have it on in the background. I was probably answering some work emails. And all of a sudden I like close my computer. And I'm like, nope, we're watching this basketball game. Because all of a sudden it's a basketball game again. Because Rudy Gobert, like I just watched Rudy Gobert get torched over and over again, and like they're still down, they're still up by like 25, and I'm like, oh, they're about to lose this game. Like I just knew it was about to happen.
So did you? But I know everybody else wants to know this. Did you ever get back to the work emails?
Yeah, of course. I had to finish those up. We took like that was like in between podcasting. So I mean, definitely got back to the work emails.
Yeah, that was like every 6 months you do a podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
So, we have had this discussion before, so this is open for whoever wants to respond to this first. But a team playoff windows as their current construction, because the strength for them is their continuity, right? They had the highest. The best net rating in the league last year during the regular season, out beating people by plus 9.3 points per game. And they just rained threes on everybody. And then it seemed in the playoffs, things fell apart. But their continuity was always their strength. And we've said this before, you've got a 3-4 year window with a you know, same kind of continuity lineup, and then that window's kind of shut. Is this the last year for that window? And if they do not make it past the second round, is this team going to be sold off for parts? Or is Donovan Mitchell going to force his way out of this organization?
No, I think that this is a, for sure, a at least two more year window, 100%. Wow. The only guy that they won't have that plays big minutes is Joe Ingles. So in my opinion, I think they're fine on that. I don't see that moving very much. And realistically, the year after that, there is Bojan Bogdanovic is the only one coming off that year. So it's really possibly a three-year window in a sense. But what I do like about this roster is they know who they are and they went all in. So some teams sort of said, you know what, Rudy struggles with that. Let's go get a stretch four. That way we can play, you know, when Rudy isn't, you know, maybe doing good, we can play differently than him. We can go smaller. They did not. They actually went all in with Hassan Whiteside, who is the exact same player that Rudy Gobert is, except for that, like, maybe he's just a tiny bit cheaper, like $33 million cheaper. And so I think that they decided that they're going to go with Rudy, and then they're going to come off of Rudy with Hassan Whiteside, who does the exact same thing. So you're always going to drive into the paint and have a big fella there trying to block your shot.
Yeah, this is a team that I think is going to be very good again. The only thing I'm worried about is, since they did take a lot of threes last year, if there is any regression shooting-wise, like, what does that do for them? Are they going to be able to create anything else? And that's a lot of to put on Donovan Mitchell's shoulders, which leads us to our final team, number one, which everyone should know by now if you've been sticking and listening along. If you have, thank you. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. But number one, the Brooklyn Nets, who last year went 48-24, which was good for second in the East. They were first for most of the season, then fell apart late. Head coached by Steve Nash. Roster added Paul Millsap. LaMarcus Aldridge is back, been medically cleared, which is great. Signed Patty Mills. Projected starters, which I know Cody is going to bring
for
up.
For home games or away games?
The projected vaccinated starters. Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Joe Harris, Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin. Now, I think a key point for this last year, Kyrie only played 54 games of 72, which isn't bad for him. Harden played 36. How much of that was because of trade? I didn't count. Kevin Durant also only played 35 games coming off that injury. And Blake Griffin played 26 games for them. So without the continuity, that this is a team that's like opposite of the Jazz. They had no continuity at all and were able to put up one of the highest, you know, historical offensive rating numbers or whatever it was that the NBA has ever seen. So obviously the elephant in the room is Kyrie's vaccination status. If he's going to be able to play in half of the games, if he's going to be able to actually play in the playoffs. But besides that, Daniel, you said before when we were talking before with the Bucks that it does not matter if Kyrie's there or not. The Nets are still the best team in the East or one of the top two. What is it, just truly the firepower of Kevin Durant? Or do you like them adding Paul Millsap, getting LaMarcus back? Patty, do you think they're a little bit deeper? Or do you think Harden has a bounce back year, a show out year?
Yeah, so very under the radar move is Patty Mills. He is so good, and he will be just as, you know, not just as good. I'm not putting a foot in my mouth about just as good as Kyrie, but he will be very good for this team. For the sole fact that Kyrie kind of needs the ball more, Patty doesn't. He can kind of facilitate enough, plus knock down the open shot. He will be a good starting point guard whenever Kyrie can't play. I guess if Kyrie holds to what he's doing, he's going to play 30 games a year, because you got to think half of the games that are in Brooklyn or, you know, in New York. And then, you know, when he plays other teams that have the same restriction. So roughly 30 games a year. So for the other 50, then you're going to have Patty run point and at playoffs. So I don't know how long Kyrie holds out, but that's going to be, it's going to be a big deal. But I do think that you have two top 10 players in James Harden and Kevin Durant. So I don't see why you would fall off much. Plus, they have some old guys that are around. LaMarcus Aldridge coming back, Blake Griffin, James Johnson, Paul Millsap. And they have a flamethrower in Cam Thomas. Like, they're going to be good. And they have some young players that they did really well in the draft this year. Dayron Sharpe, like, a lot of good players that could surprise some people this year.
Yeah, Cody, here's the big question. If Joe Harris doesn't suck in that Milwaukee's Bucks season, are the complete fortunes of the Milwaukee Bucks changed, the trajectory of them?
Yeah. I mean, if Joe Harris is, like, not a zero on offense, then yeah.
Do you think the Nets go on to win that finals? Or do you think the Hawks actually potentially make it to the finals?
I don't know.
Are we talking?
I thought the Hawks could have made it to the finals against the Bucks.
So, all right. This is deep hypothetical, but this is what we do here, right? Hot takes. Let's have fun. If Joe Harris doesn't suck, the Phoenix Suns win the NBA championship. True or false?
True.
Oh! I am a big believer on the Nets, and I think they have to be the clear-cut favorite to win the finals, even with Kyrie's questions on if he's going to be there for a third of the games, even with just James Harden, Kevin Durant, with the shooting they have around. I don't see how you can look at this team, and the only thing you can really point to is, are they going to really be going for it in the regular season? Because their defense in the regular season was not great. And then we got into the NBA playoffs and they were just clamping people down. And where the Milwaukee Bucks basically couldn't move. Like, they couldn't do anything. It was just a war of attrition, basically, between those two teams. So I'm all in on the Nets. I think I would have them as the leading horse right now. It's my pick to win the NBA championship. Do we want to round out and finish this preview series, this no injuries, please tier, with our finals predictions? Or do we want to save that for another episode?
Are we going to do like over unders?
I don't know. Daniel, do you want to do over unders?
Not today. But
No, not today.
I just meant, like, if we're going to do, like, an over-unders podcast, like, I think that would be a good place to do the finals prediction because, like, that's bettable.
Okay, we'll figure it out. We'll talk about it. Let's save it then. Yeah, let's save it. So this wraps up the final tier, the no injuries, please tier. So thank you for listening to all four episodes previewing the 2021-2022 NBA season. Bow, 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 bow.
This is the best threesome you've ever been a part of.
The only, quote unquote. Thank you for listening and tuning into this. Come back with us all season. We will be here, hopefully, a trio every week, week in and week out, bringing the most up to date, fun NBA thoughts and takes, hot takes mostly, that you're going to hear. So anything to plug before we go, Daniel?
Yep. Make sure you check out Grizz 901. We're getting ramped up for the season, and so it'll be a lot of fun. We are doing more of a player award show, and we're going to break it out as well into the Southwest Conference. And so we're going to do our awards for the Grizzlies, but also the Southwest Conference. So it is going to debut the same day. We always come out on Mondays. And so go check that out. It will be out in your feed now. The other thing is just make sure you check out the other shows on the network. There's a lot of good shows and a lot of good things coming. And then the first day prior to the start of the season, so on October the 18th, next week, you will be hearing a gentleman that's called Prop Stars, and he will be joining us, and he'll be giving all his prop betting and how you can best do that, but also learn a little bit about betting. There will be some lines out. He'll give us some of his best best lines, best bets. And so just make sure you stay tuned for that. You won't want to miss it, because I promise you, if you tail prop stars, you're going to make money. That I do. I pay my mortgage off of prop stars. So shout out prop stars.
Yeah, we're very excited for him as a guest. It's going to be a great episode. I'm going to be picking his brain a lot, because I'm super curious about all of the stuff that he researches and how he gets his numbers and all that stuff. But Cody, anything to plug, or do you want to close us out since we are here again, all three of us?
I don't have anything to plug, man. We all have Twitter. I think it's Free Basketball 3, right?
Yep,
is that what it
right.
is? Yeah. Yeah, I don't really do the social media much anymore.
Neither do I.
So yeah, we got Twitter. I think there's some sort of Facebook out there. But the more important thing is, like, just get on iTunes and get on Spotify and, like, find this podcast. Like, share, rate, review, tell your friends.
Yeah.
And if you don't, screw you, creepo.